listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Greetings! Greetings, everybody. How are you all? This is JP. This is Journeys with JP. And not only Journeys with JP tonight, the 27th of July 2015, but Journeys with Rebecca. Yay! Hey, I don't have an audience. I don't have an audience clapping thing. I've only got fascinating.
I got fascinating.
Oh, no, there you go.
Fascinating.
There, you can hear it now. Fascinating. I got fascinating. I got that, but I haven't got audience clapping, but I'm going to have audience. I'll make my own. Rebecca Jernigan, welcome back to Revolution Radio. Welcome back to your own show. It's been a long time. It's fantastic to hear you.
Oh, thank you. It has been a long time, buddy. And I was in there listening to the music, and I was like, huh, that sounds just vaguely familiar.
Excellent.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. And it's been a long time since we've spoken privately or on the air together. So, where do we start? I mean, today is the day, a year ago, that our friend, buddy, colleague, soul brother, what can we say? Our great friend, and many others, you know, I just want to say hello to Sindolo and to Tremjar if they're listening, and Mike and all of Dave's friends over at Revolution Radio. We don't forget you, we're just too busy. Anyway, Rebecca, greetings. How are you? What's been going on for you?
Well, you know, when you got a hold of me, it was a show tonight for purpose of honoring our great friend Dave Corso. And I have to share with you, if I might, start like this. Maybe it's a good place to start, is the visitations that I've had in the recent weeks. And because it's very apropos to Dave, and then we'll kind of catch up to where I've been for over the last year. It's been a year. It's been over a year. Just a little over a year since my last time on radio. And we'll talk about all that. But I'd like to share with you, because as you said to people, we haven't spoken, and we do little Skype messages. Hi, miss you. We got to get together soon. Yes, we do. And then that's the end of that for the next couple of months. So we haven't really had much time, and I sure have missed you, and certainly have missed much of the audience and everybody, and of course the radio in and of itself. It's, you know, it was my life for many, many years. I was one of the first pioneers of internet radio, and certainly first woman. I brazened through there. So this has really, truly been a journey as I look back. But getting back to Dave tonight, it started a few weeks ago, I have to tell you. And we all shared with each other in the early days after Dave left us and went on, our experiences with his visitations, with his presence, whatever our experiences were. And then they slow down, and then we move on, and our lives move forward, and we don't speak much of it, and perhaps the visits aren't as often, or they're just not as many, or they're just not any at all. So a few weeks ago, I had a visit from a past pet of mine that had passed away just prior to, it was just right after Herc died. So Herc and Mr. C passed away very close in time together. And, of course, Dave and I shared that. And I'll get to how we met, because it was really kind of an interesting story and some of the other very personal things about Dave that I'm sure he would love for me to share. And then a few weeks ago, I had a visit by my Mr. C. He's been gone for a while now. And with him was Herc and several of Dave's other pets were there as well. And I was like, well, isn't this interesting? So we chatted for a minute, you know, and they all just kind of like, as dogs do, kind of send you that love smile that they do, and off they went. And then a few nights later, here they come again. But this time, they brought Dave with them.
Oh.
And okay, I'm going to try to hold it together here.
Okay, take your time. Take your time, you know. Just breathe and allow it.
It was beautiful. There's nothing sad about it except for the fact that you miss their physicality, right? And so Dave and I sat down and had a very, very long conversation, the first one in a very long time. And I did not know you were going to be contacting me about being on this show to talk about Dave. But Dave said some very peculiar things to me at the time that I didn't really understand, and now I do. And he said, well, here's some things that I want you to tell people. And I thought, well, maybe he's saying, you know, sometime I'll get back on the radio or something and I'll tell people. Well, I'm exactly doing that right now.
Well, so and again, yesterday I asked you onto the show. I asked you onto my Sunday show.
Yes.
And I asked you, well, sorry. Sorry, I hit the microphone, not you. But I asked you that, you'd come on yesterday on the Sunday show. And for some reason, you know, there was plenty of people on the show, but there was some reason that you were taken away from that. And it was like afterwards you like, oh, is anyone there? I was like, no, you missed it. Just, oh, no. Oh, so it was just perfect that we did it today, that we give you, you know, this is your space. As I said, it started out as Journeys with Rebecca, and you know, you asked me to look after it for Tuesdays, and then it kind of you went away, and I was sitting, you know, there's me sitting on Tuesdays, and so, you know, it's developed a life of its own, this show, and it's lovely, and we have our own, you know, there's a group of people following all over the world. There's you know, big shout out to Australia and all the folks out there, and the British people as well. So it's great. So we've been feeling Dave. People have been feeling Dave. We've been getting messages. Dolly has been almost molested by him. You know, some things don't change, do they?
No, they don't. Bless his heart. Well, I have to give you the one message. But in order to give you the message, I have to do a background for you guys, okay? And the background is this, is that I met Dave in 2009 at the Awake and Aware conference that was held in Los Angeles. And he was there as part of the Super Soldier program, and Duncan Ophinian, as he was known, was there as well. And that's where I actually met Dave. I met him in person, and he was really a very tall person. Of course, I'm very short. I'm 5 foot. Dave was, I think, over 6 foot. Anyway, I met Dave, and we sat around and chatted for hours. He'd come and sit beside me and while we were listening to other people, and we just chatted away and chatted away. Just in the most darling, funny, flirtatious person. And then we kept in contact via the phone. And then he began to share some of his experiences with me in regards to some of the Super Soldier information, as well as some of the meditation work. And I got to know the part of Dave that was very spiritual, very, very, the aspect of himself that was really tapped into, you know, the other dimensional stuff, the things that he didn't show maybe so much to the outside world as often. But in this case, there was one incident where he shared with me a dream or a vision that he'd had when he was younger, when he was spending time with his grandfather, and his grandfather took him to a cave. And we were visiting inside of this cave, and this cave was really his place of connection, his place of reconnection, of wisdom was shared there. There was all kinds of symbols, there was artifacts in there. and he would ask me about them when we were sitting in there, and we would have these conversations, and he would tell me what they said to him. And, you know, I would give him the interpretation, and then he would go back and do some more meditation and come back. And anyway, this went on and off for the years. At that time was very, very private, you know, conversations that he didn't share with anybody, that to my knowledge, and I certainly didn't share it. But when he came the other night, he sat down, he said, I want you to share this with people. I want them to know this portion of me. I want them to know what has happened. He said, I went back to the cave after my physical being left this planet. He said, and I had to go there. I had to sit in that space. And he said, and I have to tell you, it's very different when you're not in physical form. He said, I was very much more reconnected to that place, to that cave where my ancestors had come from and where the extraterrestrials were. And he said, and I've learned so much more that I wish I would have shared more with people when I was on the planet. He said, but I didn't really know how to put it into words. He said to me, he said, I didn't know how to express it to everyone. He said some of the things that I saw, and he thanked me for some of the interpretations that I had given him. But the biggest point that he wanted me to tell people was that in this cave was where he found a lot of the answers to the questions that he'd always had. Where did I come from? Who are my soul group, so to speak, or my peoples? You know, what were all these artifacts? Who were all these people? And he got to actually meet them all. And that was the thing that he wanted me to tell everyone, is that he got to literally meet all of them. They weren't in the same kind of a space as when you're in physical form, you know, conducting vision work or shamanic work or meditation. He said it becomes more palatable. In other words, more real. You can almost touch it, he said. He said he realized that he was still in kind of a meditative state even as he was doing that on the other side where he's at. He said, but it's important to make sure that you keep up that kind of work, he said, because when you leave this world, he said, you get a chance to do all those things that you didn't get to do before you decide what else are you doing. So I asked him, I said, well, what did you decide to do? He said, I've decided not to decide.
Typical Dave answer, isn't it?
I said, oh my God, I am talking to Dave.
Bloody typical. That is so typical. Holy crap. This is what happened, you know. That's what happened the week after he died. You know, he made some comments and we're like, oh, that's just so Dave.
It is so Dave. It was so Dave. But I wanted to take everyone to that point of where he was in that cave, and we did vision work together. He would share that, and I walked him through some things because he had some stuff, that personal things that he had worked on while he was alive. And oh, and by the way, for anybody that isn't still communicating with him or talking with him, he looks really good. He is so vibrant. He is so full of energy. He's so full of wonder. He's doing great. I have to tell people, he's doing great, and he's still very busy on the other side. He is just like a kid in a candy store, realizing that he can go and visit and see things that he didn't get to do when he was on this planet. So that's what he's doing at this time, amongst other things. I mean, he's got special messages for a lot of people, but that was the visitation that I got from him. And he hasn't left me. You know, I always feel him like just kind of outside the parameters since a few weeks ago. And every once in a while I'll get that I'm having a cuff a cough, what is it? A cough a cuppy.
Cough a cuppy, yeah.
Cough a cuppy. So, and I'll be sitting down, get ready to have my morning first cup of coffee, and I'll hear that, here it is. I said, oh, good morning, Dave. I hadn't heard that in many months, and oh my goodness, you know, it just fills your heart with joy. It's kind of bittersweet, you know, and it's lovely. I have to say it's lovely, and I miss him. I miss him just terribly. I still miss him terribly, and there isn't much that goes by that I don't think about him, especially when I have my morning coffee. Sometimes sitting down at the computer, he would contact me very, very early in the morning. It would be like 5:30 my time, and he would be, you know, be like, what, 3:30 his time in the morning. And he would sometimes get a hold of me, and we would chat in the wee hours of the morning about different, very different things. We talked about cooking and herbs and meditation and lots of different things. He shared some of his experiences under the Super Soldier program, and we went through some, you know, I did some work with him, much like I did work with you and some others. And he was an amazing man. He was a truly, truly an amazing man. And so my hat's off to him, and I had to go and get a cup of coffee before we started. I wasn't going to drink any, and I was like, Dave's never stand for that. I have to go get my coffee. So I went and got my coffee.
Well,
so
let's raise our cuffs and
have some
cuppy.
Cuff of coffee. Cuff of coffee.
However he said it.
I'm having it.
Bless you.
Here's to you, Dave.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. So,
good.
and people are saying in the chat room they miss your laugh. So.
Oh, I miss them too. I honestly have. I mean, it may not seem like that, but I have missed everyone. I've missed you. I've missed the show. I missed a lot of different things about it. I just reached a point where I had to stop for a while, and you know, we can talk about that or not. Doesn't matter. But I did want to, there's so many people, I just want to talk about Dave for a few more minutes, because, you know, his doggies are all standing here. My room, by the way, where I'm sitting, is just now filled. All kinds of beings are in here. It's kind of fun. Dave was such a unique person, and there were so many people's lives that he touched, and the radio station itself meant so much to him. And I think about all of that great stuff that you've done and all the people that helped you keep this thing going and keep the spirit of it alive. And, you know, he just grins from ear to ear when he thinks about it. And then, of course, all the people at Rev Radio as well that supported him, you know, Mike and all that, and everybody else. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so his legacy is on, lives on, and it lives on, and it will, as long as we don't forget him. And I don't think there's too many people that would forget Dave Corso if they met him.
There aren't any. I don't think it's one of these people, like, he's definitely made a scratch on the leather of immortality.
Yes, he has.
I mean, there's some. Yeah. Anyway, it's actually interesting. Somebody was, the Corsos. You know, there's a very famous, another famous Corso who's like Dave's second cousin, who's Philip Corso, the famous Roswell guy, who was somehow related, wasn't he?
You know, I heard some conversation about that, but I've slept since then. But I think so.
Indeed.
So, I think you're right.
So, you know, there are other famous Corsos, and there's so many levels that he interacted with us, both of us personally and everybody else, in his final years, as it were, just kind of opening right out like he did.
Yeah, he made some definite choices.
Mm.
Brave, bold ones.
Yeah. And it was, there was, you know, and I think it's like at some point before he started speaking out so much, it's like there's a pressure builds up where the pressure to hold it in is overwhelmed by the pressure for it to speak out.
Mm-hmm. You know, being part of that Super Soldier program that he was in, there's a lot of stuff that he didn't physically remember, you know, didn't recall, but he carried that within him that, oh, I don't even know what to say about it exactly. He carried a lot of unknown memories and attitudes, and that sounds like a negative word here in this case. It's not necessarily negative, but he carried around a lot of baggage that he wasn't even aware of that he was carrying, just from the very fact that he had been earmarked from as a young boy. And, you know, as the time went through and he became what he became, and then he came out of it. And, you know, I will tell you, from everything that he knew about himself and the things that he did know that he did, I have to give him credit where credit is due, because I don't know if you or I or many of us out there could carry what he carried within him on the super soldier training and all the stuff that, you know, the mind control and all that. I think he turned out as a rather well and beautiful human being myself.
Absolutely. And we are joined by another well and beautiful human being, Mr. Ringley. How are you, mate?
What's up? Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm lovely, my dear. How are you?
Oh, it's just one day is the day is the next. I you know, it's like we're marking the year of Dave's passing right now, today, actually.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. I went to feed, you know, I have this place where I have this, like, huge hopper feeder that I feed my cats with because I have way too damn many cats. And just before Dave passed away, he sent me the knife he carried in Vietnam and the knife and his other favorite knife, hunting knife, and they lay up on a shelf up above my gun rack, and they're not like out of balance or anything. And this morning when I went to feed the cat, that knife is laying on the ground. The one he sent me that he carried through Vietnam. Because he sent it to me because he didn't...
Yeah.
Anyway, he didn't think that anybody in his family would appreciate that, and he knew I'd appreciate it. I mean, we had a morning conversation that was... Most people would think it was derogatory between people because Dave would go, "Hey, good morning, thank you." And I'd be like, "Okay, botch." You know, I mean, it was like just this kind of our exchange. You know, two old warriors kind of thing, and but
lots
it was really
dust,
fun. Yeah, and this was on the floor this morning, and it just, there's no way that thing just fell off the shelf, even with my big fat cats, because it's not out of balance or anything. And so, you know, I just started my day going, "All right, how you doing, Dave?" You know,
yeah, and, there you and, go.
Yeah,
there you, you go, know, dude. I'm telling you, he's been hanging out for the past few weeks. So yeah. Apropos,
saying,
man.
Hey, don't forget me. You know, F you, biatch.
So. Yeah, there you go. That would be you and Dave, yes.
Yep, pretty much. But anyway.
Well, that's nice. Cool.
Okay, you've been, how you feeling, man? I mean, you've been, you know,
better.
You went through a couple of real bad health.
Yep, it's and I'm better, and that's what I've been working on, dude. And thank you so much for asking, truly. But I'm doing much better. I know you did, and I so appreciate you. You know I do. Love you, Mike.
Hell, you're the only host when you had to back off I ever wrote a song for, right?
I know, I still got that on my computer.
Did you write a song? Which one? Oh, now he's all bashful. Come on. Oh, come on, you're going to have to play it now. You can't do that. Come on.
I'm not bashful. It was the Goodbye to You song that we did. We did a big montage for Rebecca when she had to back out when she come home from Egypt and was just sick as hell for...
Ah, that one. Yeah, I remember that one. Hey, I wonder if I've still got it.
I never got better. Got worse, man.
They were damn ridiculous black mold.
Well, it started before that, and I've since found some sources, and I've been working on the source of where it all comes from, man. I'm, you know, I'm kind of a mess. But I'm feeling
mess,
better.
Mess, right?
Yeah, I like being a mess. What the hell? It's a challenge.
Yeah. Better is always a good thing.
That's right. You have to have something to aspire to, which is better than what you are, right?
Right. Well, you know, sometimes age just kind of messes
hey,
up with
hey,
you.
Hey, 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 I'm not getting older now.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I am.
Be very careful.
What about you? I'm youthening, you guys.
There you go. I'm working on it.
I looked in my eyes today. I haven't got one wrinkle. I'm 54. I haven't got one wrinkle. I must have no worries.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of it.
I've never known anybody's eyeballs to wrinkle.
Oh, my eyeballs have wrinkled in the past, I tell you. You never know.
Oh, no, not that. No wrinkly eyeballs allowed.
You can get, maybe as you can get better, we can get you back on a slot over here. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm working on a few things, and I am taking it slow. I've got some announcements to make. I will be doing something here in the next few weeks, probably 1 hour a week. We'll see how that goes, and just trying to see if I can get back into the swing of things. I've spent the last year doing nothing much, truthfully.
I always used to get grief. Rebecca's your fave girl.
And it's because I didn't give you too much shit.
You did yourself. There was no grief unless there was a problem, and then we just did it. I mean, it was just awesome.
You just get it over with, right?
There you go. Or get on with it. Not over with, but
move forward, man.
There you go. That's how it works, right?
That's right. Get it over and done with and move forward. Right?
That's it. Anyway, you know, I'm gonna drop out of here in a second. You know, pretty much what I'm doing with life is we're canning a crap load of food to the point I'm like, you know, and I'm not even doing the heavy lifting here. My wife is, but, you know, we've been canning like crazy. And it's just, I'm sick of looking at produce and putting it in jars and doing all this stuff.
Got some recipes for you if you're interested, though.
And the heavy lifting.
There you go. There you go. I love it. That's good, though, man. I did get your, I don't know, notification that you were doing canning classes or something. How cool is that? I'm glad more and more people are doing that. I just love it. It is actually my favorite time of the year is to can, because you only do it once a year. It's not like you do it every day. So actually enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I've been doing it we have been doing it since about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. We've started canning ends around end of September. We have so much stuff put up and canned, I'm kind of running out of crap to can. It's like, okay, we've kind of reached our limit on how long stuff can sit on the shelf. What do we can next? We got 3 and 4 years of pickles, 3 and 4 years of tomatoes, 3 and 4 years of green beans, 3 and 4, you know, just on down the line. The freezers are packed full. Of course, we lose the grid, then I'm going to have to fire up and just start dehydrating the hell out of crap. But anyway, you know, just kind of how it works. But anyway, and don't forget Hawks Fest, man. You coming out to Hawks Fest by any chance?
Probably not, dude.
Why not?
Oh, I just don't know that I can make it, man. I just, you know.
Oh.
I will try. I'm not going to give you a no. I said probably not, but you never know. You just never know. I'm a pretty wild and crazy gal. If I can make it, I just sometimes have a tendency to show up places.
And you never know. You know, and I don't know if you know about this, but, you know, I'm doing a 25-year reunion with my Black Sabbath tribute band, Black Sunday. And we'll be at that concert. It's going to be music all day on Saturday. Lots of good food. A lot of free food, except for, you know, we're going to have I just want a hamburger grill, which will have a couple bucks tacked to it or something like that. But it's going to be fun. Lots of campus space, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you've heard the promos. Yep. But anyway, hopefully I'll see you out here, man, if you can.
That would be fun. I'd love to meet you. I really would. I'd love to meet you. I got to meet Dave. I'd love to meet some other people. I haven't met JP, but he's a little bit farther away across the pond over there.
Yeah, well, I've heard that those people can take a rowboat and get them all the way over here.
Well, you know, there's that.
Boats. Yeah, I love boats. The last time I was in a boat, I was seasick for 5 hours in a half hour. Supposed to be a half hour journey across the Murray Firth, and it just took 5.5 hours into a storm.
So you get to row around the Arctic Cap for like 197 hours, you're going to be thrown up the whole time.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about me. You know, I don't do radio shows all the time, and some of the rest of the time that might be what I might be doing. But don't worry about me.
All right, man. Listen, I'll let you guys get back to your show. Hopefully, I can see you out here, Rebecca. I mean,
that'd be great, Mike.
known each other for 4 years. We've had ins and outs, and you've been sick and not sick and all that kind of stuff, and we've all done our thing. It would be really nice to have you out here.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Honest to God, thank you so much. That's very, very nice of you, and I will do my best, and I'll let you know if I can actually make it.
All right. Thank you.
All right, baby. Take care of yourself.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
So, where'd he go?
Another blast from the past.
Yes, another blast from the past. Let's see if this works. Meanwhile...
back at the ranch.
Back in Journeyland. I have so much fun with this jingle machine.
I imagine I would be in there playing with it all day and never get anything done. What does this do? What does that do? I'm a proverbial kid in a candy store when it comes to stuff like that.
You know, I'm now starting to mess about with little microelectronics. I've found a useful, you know, sort of central brain thing to start from. And one of the ideas is to have, like, a jingle box that you can put a little SD card in, and you have your samples, and you just press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you know, you just plug it into the mixer, and boom, there they go, and out come a bunch of jingles.
I like that idea.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
So wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. So that's one of my ideas. But my latest one is, do you ever remember, you probably used to see them in the shows, they call it the Dream Machine or the Dream Box.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lights that flash on your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been combining that concept with the photonic acupuncture concept of using that specific frequency of light, plus Shari Edwards' signature sound frequency concept, adding all those three together and written a little program and made a little box. It's really nice. So that's what I've been doing recently. It's kind of a departure from the radio, but at the same time, it's kind of connected in some strange way.
Well, you're dealing with frequencies. Radio is frequency.
Yeah.
That's how come we can hear each other and people can hear us, et cetera, and so forth. So it's not. It's just a different application of it.
Actually, what it is, you're right. It's a realization, an application of what I've been talking about. It's a walking of the talk that I've been making. So one day... people might be able to buy these little boxes off me. I've made a prototype, and it really looks quite nice. You know, it looks like, oh yeah, somebody could you know, somebody might like that, having that thing around. So it's going to have little rubber feet and stuff.
Wow, it sounds really delightful. See, the frequency thing is really, really big with me as well. So. That's just sounds almost too cool for itself, seriously.
Well, you know, it's the idea is that this little box not only will work to do that with light, you can do it with a light pen. You could have a colored light pen. You could adjust the color too. I could do that too. But you can make a wand or like an ET finger.
You know, ET finger. ET phono.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe even make it... I was thinking that you could make one that would fold up like a finger does. So you could carry it in your pocket, and you could use it as a wand, you know, so you could, you know, stay out of somebody's aura and put it into the aura and apply that frequency in that light. And it could be programmed to do so and have a little display and all kinds of... all kinds of, you know, I'm bursting and brimming with ideas about using one of these things, I'll be making a YouTube soon. I made one YouTube about how to get it to respond very basically to a stimulus, but this is the next sophisticated level up. Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been up to.
Wow. Well, that sounds like quite an endeavor there. Actually, sounds like a lot of fun with that, and as well as your little jingle box.
Yeah.
I mean, really, sounds awesome. Way more than what I've been doing. I've just been doing what I normally do, but...
Well, you know...
just conversing.
You do but you do other things as well. You do... you make stuff with your hands.
I do. I make... First of all, I took back up crocheting again after a while. Sounds like an old lady thing, but I've been making some pretty cool things. I'm not big into Afghans and all that, so I make very usable items such as dishcloths and towels and step towels and stuff like that, so it's kind of fun. But the big thing that I do is under Conscious Creations is I take used clothing items and turn them into purses and bags, and I just remake them. I just tear them up and make wallets and billfolds and backpacks. I've made all kinds of different things, and I sell them on a website called Conscious Creations. And they're really unique. There's never any two the same. So I take I can take an old pair of jeans and I can look at it, and it ends up having all kinds of different things on them. I mean, they're just, most of them is about, I would say they're about between 85 and 90% recycled items. Some things have to be purchased new for the integrity of some of the items. And a lot of the stuff I can get out of flea markets, some of it's just been donated to me. Ex-sellers and stuff, they'll give me, you know, scraps of material. And
Rebecca accepts all donations of zips, zippers, and press studs of any size and kind. Also sequins and what are the other things that go on there?
I don't do sequins.
You don't do sequins, no?
I don't do sequins, no, not unless they're already strung. that's more tedious than I can get into. I'm not a real tedious.
You need a Virgo for that.
Yes, I'm not Virgo at all. I don't think they even have any Virgo in my chart. I'd be surprised if there's any in my chart. I'm just saying, I don't remember.
Virgo and Aquarius is a quincunx, you know.
Yeah, you know, I made a lady called me, and I make some hiking bags, so people that take their wands and their crystals and stuff, I make bags for them. I have grandsons, so I make stuff out of old army shirts, and I've made men's travel bags out of old army shirts and pants, and I've made purses and stuff for guys and gals, shoulder bags for guys that they can take. So, like, if you're hiking or you're going in a long distance and you just need something for your water bottles and your wands and crystals and, you know, your ID, whatever's needed, I make all those kind of stuff. So it can be utilitarian. Some of it's real pretty stuff, you know, girly girl things. So it's a wide gamut because I just, you know, I come from a pretty diverse background, and so all of that goes into each piece, and each piece is unique. I don't make any two alike. So I'm actually hoping at some point to actually open up a business where I'm employing some people to help me with some of the products and the designs that can do that. I just haven't quite figured out how to get there with that yet. So that's something that I'd like to do, is just to make all home recycled things. They're really beautiful stuff. I mean, it's just gorgeous and they're unique, and I put all that cool energy into it when I make stuff, and it's kind of fun.
That's brilliant. You know, and I'm thinking at the same time, you know, you're taking things like old, our kids' old, you know, it's the stuff that our kids have thrown away, right? Because it's no good, it's got a stain on it, it's got this on it,
yeah.
You know what kids are like, no matter what accent they might have. But the beauty of these little devices is that I'm learning about the things that they've thrown away, the tech things that they've thrown away. And I discover that there are bits out of these tech things that you can take out, because they're like whole little boards. And you can take that out and plug it into your little computer and talk to them. And so I've got various things that already exist around the house, like some remote-controlled lights that I'm controlling with the computers. And it's going to be a little brain. There's little neurons in each room that will control the lights and the speakers as well, so that I can walk from the kitchen from the studio here to the kitchen and the conversation will follow me up. I don't know about having a mic there, but I'll be able to hear it at least.
Oh, wow. Well, see, you're way more techno than I am. I have a little problem with my computer right now that I got to get rid. I have a little Trojan in there, and I can't seem to find it and locate it. So I eradicate most of it, and I can't get to it. And it's just a simple thing, and I just can't figure it out. So, you know, it's one of those things. And then you're telling me to do all this stuff. I'm like, wow, man, I can't even figure out how to turn my computer on more. Let's do that stuff anymore.
Stinger. Google.
I don't.
Google download stinger.
Got it. Wrote it down.
Stinger.
Buddy.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. The antivirus stinger from McAfee. No, really, it's a professional tool that they make, and if you don't know about it, everybody knows about it now. Download Stinger, and is it McAfee? I think it's one of those antivirus companies, and it's a tool they give for professionals, and it's a standalone antivirus, so you don't need to have like any Norton or anything loaded. In fact,
I don't do Norton anymore anyway. It was very, very buggy, and it caused a lot of system crash using Norton years ago.
Norton, well known for slowing every system down.
Oh, yeah.
People say, my computer's going so slow today. Have you got Norton on it? Yeah. Well, that's why.
Oh, I hated it. That, and there's a couple other, like, audio programs that they used to stick in stuff. I was like, okay, that's off air. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, so there's a few things. Anyway,
The thing is that you have not only Skype, but you also have got Skype. Like, you've got psychic Skype kind of thing. And do you think that that's like you're like a pioneer of that, and that one day that you'll be in a room, you won't be alone in this realm of yours, that everybody else will make appearances, and well, hopefully it'll be nice as well. But do you think you're joined? Do you feel more unified or joined with the rest of humanity, or like do they understand you or get you a bit more?
Some people do. I have met probably I can count them on one hand throughout my life that get me. You're one of them.
Bless you.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, I don't. You know, like, I'll have conversation, and it's just general conversation with people, but I'll bring something up, and they go, I was just thinking about that. So, you know, I've been tuning into that. Some of it has to do with conversations you and I have had in the past that sparked me to look in different directions as to, well, where does that come from, and why do I do that? What is that? You know, because I do with everything. What is it? What's it do? How does it work? Why am I doing it? Do I need to do it? Is it good? Is it not good? Should I be doing it? And so one of the things that I found out was, again, it's based all on frequency. It's like, it's like the fine levels, the subtleness that most people don't have any idea about is what I get. So I'm actually picking up on conversations before they even take place. It's like time traveling in the moment. And it's a frequency. And if you're dialed into a person and you're really listening to what they say or connected with them, then almost everything that they get ready to say, you already know what they're going to say or how they feel about something. Does that make sense?
You know, in the old days, before they had shortwave radio, before they had radios, you know, the transistor radio, people had these shortwave valve radios, and they worked on a low frequency, and everybody was able to communicate with them. And then afterwards we had AM, we had medium wave, and everybody had medium wave radios, and we were able to communicate on those. And then we had FM, and that was a higher frequency still, and the communication was clearer and more clear. And then we had UHF, and then we had pictures as well. Then we had color pictures, and every time the frequency got higher, so the quality of the image or sound that is transmitted is clearer and more sharp as you go up in frequency. And so there's an analog there with the way our psychic interactions have developed and evolved over the last few years. That's what I feel, anyway.
Well, and then you stop and think about what you just said. That's both expanding as well as detracting. Just that evolution in the ability of what we have as far as communication, whether we started shortwave, AM, FM, all that kind of stuff, right? Everything may be clearer, but it's also has more components to it in a sense. And at the same time, it's more streamlined. it's a true dichotomy when you think about the energies that are involved in the clear communications.
Yeah, it takes more effort to get that clarity, whereas, you know, you just throw something down, you get enough clarity across.
So there's a lot of levels, there's a lot of layers to that. Whereas the beginning points of that, before they get there, there's those layers are not as complicated, they're not as deep, but you can still get just as much as you would if you didn't put all of that other layers on it. But you have to work at it. That's the subtleness of some of the stuff that I do. It comes in underneath the radar, so to speak, and I'm able to pick up on that clarity without jumping into the stream itself with it. Does that make sense?
Well, I remember we had a conversation a long time ago about this journey that you would take. You'd see the streams in front of you, flicking by, and then they would stop, and then you step into a stream and do what you did, whatever you did.
Mm-hmm. I still do that.
You still do that. The time frame sequencer.
Yeah, I still jump in and out of stuff. It's a little different. I have to tell you that trip to Egypt, I was very sick as well. Most people all know the story. I was sick when I went there, and I got sicker when I came back. But I also gained some additional information, which is the kind of experiment that I did when I was in the Queen's Chamber by myself, when I was speaking, and 10 of me came out, right? These different layers of my voice came out. It was one voice. It was my voice. But it all came out in layers, in total synchronicity, right? These levels of frequency that was all made up of my voice, which gets into what the work that Sherry Edwards does, right? And there's all these different frequencies that make up what people hear as one single voice coming out, right? It's the thing I didn't understand in the moment that I was in it. I do now, but I didn't then, because I had some time to look at it, obviously. And I've played with it, and I've played with it. I was like, now, why did it do that way, and why was this? So I've been playing with that, and my hearing has become extremely acute, not so much in the physicality of the world, but in the unseen world. It's almost as if I can hear the spirits walking, can hear their footsteps, whereas before I wasn't able to do that. So there was a definite gift in that visit to Egypt, along with all the other experiences. But that was the thing about the kind of opening to more of that unseen world, to be able to hear more and see more and express more, because of the understanding of how the singular sounding stream is actually many streams, and sometimes within those streams there's slight variations if you can if you can reach there, if you can get there into that separation that makes it sound unified. Just like when you're listening to my voice now through all of the technology, it sounds like a single stream, but there are so many other things I'm probably saying which cannot be heard, because it's coming out as and being heard in our ears as one single voice. Is that making sense?
Yes, it's what I call encoding. In that, the way that a carrier wave is encoded with an audio wave to make radio. You take one single wave, and you vary it with according to the sound of, say, my voice, and then somebody else takes off the sound, the original sound, and what you're left with is the sound of my voice. And that's how radio works. So if you take that the next step further, and the voice is encoded through the soul connection that the person has, then there's another layer of encoding that the soul tunes into of the person who's listening. And so this is food also for the soul as well as for the personality.
It is, and when you think about the encoding, it's, you know, we're talking to on many levels, and this gets into the parallel timelines and the multidimensional stuff, and it just, it gets into all, you can just take that one premise right there, and it just kind of explodes. There's so many different ways you can go with it.
Boom. All right. Yeah. Well, parallel dimensions. Let's, because just before we left, I've been reading this blog today about this supposed scientist from CERN who's tapped into they ran CERN, and they, you know, ripped through the books of the universes and dropped through the side, and people in it was the people that were in there, there was this big white flash, and then suddenly the person had disappeared, leaving everything else than what they were, you know, the what they would be naked, including all things inside their bodies, you know, possessions and things, not, you know, organic material. But anyway, so poor woman. Anyway, so she. But here's the thing: that they managed to find, it seems like, other versions of themselves, and it reminds me of that film with Michael Caine and David Bowie as Tesla, called The Prestige. Did you ever see that?
I did not. Uh-huh. Heard about it, but I did not. So one of the things on my bucket list of things to do is to watch that movie.
Yes, do watch it. It's there's some mind-blowing concepts in it, particularly.
So,
go on.
I want to interrupt you for a minute before I forget this thought, because I have a train of thought. Because here's,
don't derail it. Take it home.
Here's the not so much of a coincidence. Today I was just having a conversation with someone today about CERN, and about some of the people who work there, and I said, here's the deal. I said, you got some scientists, some engineers working at CERN that have actually created, when they were creating CERN, when they were trying to figure out how to make it work, they ran across some other discoveries while they were doing this, and some of it became underground. In other words, the scientists and engineers may still be working for CERN, but the technology and the knowledge and the actual program and all of that, it has also got people using it that are not your normal everyday neighbors. They don't work for any three-letter agencies. A little whistleblowing going on now. They don't work for any three-letter agencies. They don't work for NASA. They don't work for any government agency. They're rogue. And they've kind of captured some of these new technologies based on what happened when they were trying to build CERN. And here you bring CERN up and that particular thing. And it's like, okay. So, you know, that was the information that came when I was giving somebody else some information today, and then here you are bringing that up, and I'm like, so they just gave me confirmation through that conversation I had with you.
Wowie,
how fascinating is that stuff?
Indeed,
now?
Yes. Michael Caine and David Bowie.
Yeah, it's already here, baby.
Yeah.
So it's just we can't see it yet.
Exactly. Well, do you want, look, we're just about coming up to the little guitar music, and perhaps we ought to just pause our conversation there. Why don't you tell people? No, let me tell people. RebeccaJernigan.com, for God's sake. RebeccaJernigan.com, and then go to her. Where's the link for the shop?
It's JourneysWithRebecca.com.
Yeah, of course it is. Yes, that's right.
JourneysWithRebecca.com, and it's Conscious Creations, and I'll find the link and I'll put it into your chat room here. It's got a funky little link here. Hang on, I gotta find it. Because it's a funky little link.
Just a funky little link.
It's a funky little link.
Make it funky.
It's funky, baby.
Yes. So, I've been doing some very interesting research over the last year that is pretty out of this world, and we've been doing some reading in the last year. I think maybe to help us grieve, we've been reading to each other, It started off with Dolly Howard reading books, and then Dolly got ill, and so Colleen and I started reading some books just to keep the thing going.
Right.
And I read two books. I read one book, which was about a kind of parallel sort of thing to Dolores Cannon's kind of thing, but it was a hypnotist who had hypnotized this group to discover that he was part of a soul group that had gone all the way through from Lemuria, all the way through the entire history of Atlantis and its destruction, and it's then and their reconnection here in this lifetime, actually here in this vicinity, up in Findhorn. So it was quite a fascinating book to read. And the other one was about the Nazi bell and the development of the Nazi bell.
Oh, fascinating topic there. Okay.
Well, well, well. Welcome back to Journeys with JP and Journeys with Rebecca. Sometimes the journey takes us through a long, dark tunnel in a boat without a paddle. It's so low that what you have to do is lay on your back and walk on the ceiling of the tunnel to push yourself along. Sometimes it feels like that, at least.
Well, it's quite a visual there, buddy.
Well, it's actually a real thing that I've actually been in Derbyshire in England. There's a mining tunnel that's mm-hmm. exactly how they got they used to mine this stuff called Blue John, which is a petroleum based calcite, I think. Or fluorite, and it maybe calcium fluoride, it's a rather beautiful thing. And the way they mine it is in these barges. You know, they ship it out of the mountain through this long tunnel where they walk on the ceiling. Like that.
Wow! But,
you know, I'm sure that there have been like initiations in the past that have been like that, and sometimes the initiations in this life are a reflection of those kind of things. And obviously, you know, you have survived something that hasn't killed you. Therefore, you are stronger, surely.
I am.
According to Friedrich Nietzsche. Arnie stole that, but it was Nietzsche who said that. But anyway, somebody probably said that before Nietzsche anyway.
Probably.
Probably Plato or Socrates.
My mother used to tell me stuff like that. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Maybe she was a Nietzschean.
I mean, she might have been.
Was she into logical puzzles, man?
Not really. My mom was kind of afraid of me.
Mensch und Supermensch. Anyway, so yeah, your mom was afraid of it.
Eyes.
Don't look at the eyes. Don't let her look at you in the eyes. She hypnotized you.
Yeah, she did get a little freaked out. She didn't understand me. Hell, I didn't understand myself when I was growing up. I didn't know. I thought everybody was like me. You know, not true.
Not yet. You're just out of time, that's all. You know, as I was saying in the first hour, I think that, you know, people with gifts like yours, which sometimes get passed down genetically, sometimes as a result of the soul that's in the body, but oftentimes both, and the more I'm getting it is, do you remember the TV series Heroes?
Yep.
Where there's suddenly an eclipse, and boom, everybody starts exhibiting these very strange superpowers, like you can fall over and hurt yourself really badly, and then snap yourself back, and you're fine again. Or you can fly, or you can see through people's heads, or you know, all sorts of stuff. Or you can, with the end of your finger, you can cut holes in things.
Oh, man. Laser surgery. Yeah.
Laser finger. I've always wanted laser finger, haven't you?
I wanted invisibility.
You want invisibility. That's what you'd like.
Yeah, I want to be able to float through walls and, yeah.
Oh, even, that's more than invisibility. That's,
yeah,
like, that's
I want to be
dimension,
able to see
them. That's,
yeah,
dimensional thingy, transmogrification.
Yeah, and then be able to use, like, you know, the Harry Potter invisibility cloak.
The
you
cloak,
know?
The cloak, yeah.
Yeah, put the cloak over you and you can walk around and, yeah, I'd love to do that.
The superpower. So there's, so, but I'm sure that somewhere, I mean, it's like, it's not really invisibility, it's the ability to shift dimensions.
Correct, and still be in that dimension and be observant and hear and that, but not be sensed.
Yeah, in the same way that you can lay on
it's
the couch.
Like remote viewing.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's a similar sensation to remote viewing. It's not identical.
Yeah. Analogous.
But it's similar.
Let's say it's analogous.
Yeah.
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 It's kind of like it. Analogous,
yeah.
But not the same. And it's like what you're doing is you're focusing your consciousness at a particular frequency. And that frequency is shifted away from what we call normal reality. But what appears to be an ever-increasing strength, other reality that is building up kind of in the same place where we are, simultaneously interpenetrating our reality.
It but, has to. It's a part of who we are.
Exactly. But it's like, I suppose you could say, the difference between, you know, one day you might feel a bit down and, you know, and then somebody... somebody gives you a gift of a cake or something, you know, somebody gives you some token that shows that somebody cares and that the world is in a terrible place and all that stuff. And how you can be the same person than 10 minutes before that you were in a terrible place. So it's just where you shift your focus of awareness as to what you're experiencing. So when you're able to shift your focus of awareness into the finer, subtler grained reality that exists at the same in the same space as we are sitting, and we often get there, we have to sit really still to allow that subtlety, because I felt it last night. We did a meditation with Frank Jordan, and I felt that there was, it was like a gossamer thread, like a spider's web. That thickness of thread, like a single silk thread, and I had to pull it very, very gently, and as I pulled it, it became stronger, and I could tease it out a little bit more, and tease it out a little bit more, until finally, I was able to kind of plug it into myself and reconnect it. Now that was an experience that I had in a meditation. I think that seems to be the process of what we do when we reconnect DNA streams. Have you received anything like that?
Well, I've had a lot of information on the DNA, and so let's go back to what I've talked about for years, which is we're all unique. We all have a unique energy signature, and within that energy signature is DNA coding, and I'm talking about even the finest of spider web silk thread. There's DNA in it, DNA coding, that belongs uniquely to you. That thread that was created in your meditation, as an example, is unique to you. Nobody else can reproduce it. They can make it look like that, but it's not going to be that thread, because that's your thread. That thread was created. You created that because you became aware of it, so it's your creation. Is unique. It has a unique energy signature in it, which, therefore, if you created it, it has to come from something that you already know and understand, even though you aren't consciously aware of it, so you have to own it, so it is part of your DNA. So when we go in and do these things that, like you've been talking about with the meditation and the strands and all of the stuff that I do with my energy work, it's part of my DNA, or I wouldn't be able to understand it, to connect to it, right? The energetics of it itself, the frequencies, right? I can't see stuff that's outside of the realm of my understanding of frequencies. It means it goes by me. I don't know that it's even there because I can't recognize it. You don't know what you're missing, right, until it becomes, you become aware that you've missed something. You see what I'm saying? So when we're dealing with our DNA, something as simple as what you did is pulling on that thread, that string, made it stronger. You somehow made, you have manipulated that energy strand and to make it in. And I know you were curious when you were doing it. And, you know, I can see the curiosity. What does this do? What do I do with this? So you pulled on it and you went, well, that's fun. So somewhere you have literally pulled on your own DNA internally, somewhere within you, and made it just a bit stronger. It may not be anything that's noticeable to you, but it's the subtleness that is keeps building, just like we were talking about with the radio. We started out with shortwave, AM, FM, AM/ANA. Now we've got this big, beautiful thing that we can not only hear, but we can see and interact with even, right? So our DNA is a unique frequency to us. We all have a basic DNA in which we were all assembled. I'm going to put it that way. That was a really weird way of saying it, and that's the way it came out, and that's, I'm going to stick to it. We were all assembled with a specific structure of DNA. What changes us is the experiences we have once that DNA is inserted into some kind of a vehicle, which is a body of some sort. And then the frequencies begin to change. The same structure is still there within each of us, which is what the scientists find, because it's part of the science, the hard science, right? Oh, you're all connected, you're all human beings because you all share this particular coding. Right? But then after that is where everything else begins to change. Because we change with every experience we have, with every perception we have, with every person that we meet, with every life cycle we have been in, whenever vehicle we have been in, our off-world time when we're not in form, all of that changes our DNA when we come back into form, because we bring all of that with us. Which then again makes all the experiences compounded. We're building on that foundation of that genetic coding, the DNA that we have, that same similar, but yet that's where the uniqueness begins. And that's why everyone has a specific energy signature. Because you're never going to find two people that are going to duplicate their lives, life for life, moment for moment, second by second, thought by thought, action by action. I think the odds about that would be so astronomical that it would be on the virtual impossibility realm. Does that make sense?
So I see it's almost like I see stones tumbling in water or something like that, and everything's rolling along, and everything's placed in its just perfect place to be. If we don't mess about with reality, reality sorts its way out all by itself, doesn't it?
It does.
We don't have to F about with it.
No, we don't, because it's going to show itself. It's going to show itself. All the subtleness, you know, it's the idea that we think life is a certain way, because what we don't see is not, it's still going by us, it's still floating in front of us. We don't necessarily sense it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And it can be part of your reality as well. But right now, your reality is you're experiencing it. And the more that you get into doing internal work, I call it the internal work, the more your reality becomes bigger. And it encompasses more.
Time to step up, eh?
Yeah, everybody. Me included.
You know, a guy came up to me a few days ago, he said that all the people who used to tell him that he was crazy for believing in all that stuff, as they call it, I don't believe in all that stuff, now they're starting to take him more seriously because they've been doing their own research. And he gave me a figure about like 15 to 20 people, that sort of thing. So imagine, this is a friend of a friend, you know, how that filters through. How many more people are like that who have been doing what we've been doing, but haven't been on the radio, haven't been maybe even listening, but maybe reading and taking it all in and doing the same inner journey work? How many billions of people are just kind of starting to activate and come to this realization of what's really going on? Because suddenly the frequency barriers that were are no longer. Something's been... Do you feel, Rebecca, that something's been removed from our... Like...
There's been a filter that's been removed.
Yes. It's like, again, it takes us to a higher definition.
Right.
Of perception, of being able to see what's going on. You know, and... I mean, even Nikki, my girlfriend, said the other day, you know, I used to say you were really over the top about all this paedophile stuff, but now I see actually you were being nice, you know, you were just like holding back on it because it was much more terrible than we all imagined it could ever be. And now people are kind of used to the shock. They can come back to it and say, oh, actually, yeah, you were, you know, just giving us the milk of this thing. When we get to the meat, that was hard. That was harsh stuff. We always have to keep moving forward. Just have to keep pushing through. We know it's going to be crap, but it's, you know, we got the bulldozer and we can always have a shower later.
That's right.
Whenever I have to do something really shitty, I think I can always wash my hands afterwards.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Absolutely. Well, you know, let's talk about the removal of the filters and the fact that these frequencies are being felt by more people. And this started for me about 2 years ago, and it's really amped up now. But about 2 years ago, I started feeling, for those of us who carry cell phones with us that has the vibration feature on it, if you carry one in your pocket and the phone goes off and it vibrates and it kind of sends that, you know, buzz through you, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That sensation of when your phone buzzes, vibrates. Okay, for me, that's what it feels like. It's like, oh my God, my cell phone, you know, in the weirdest spots, like in my leg. You know, I don't give a pocket on my leg on my pants. Hell, half the time I wasn't wearing a pair of pants, I was wearing shorts, right? And it started like that, or I'd be sitting in a chair, and then all of a sudden I would just feel these buzzing just through my body, right? And then it would go away. I was like, what the hell is going on? And so I'd ask people, you know, are you feeling sensations? And sometimes people are feeling same sensations. Now I get it all the time. I mean, like every day I'm having, and there, some of them can be very extended periods of time, like many, many minutes. The longest one I had was a few weeks ago, and it lasted half of a day, where I walked around buzzing like that all day, feeling like, I was a perpetual cell phone vibrating. And it feels like the floors are vibrating. It feels like the furniture is vibrating. Everything is just vibrating. I mean, that's how it feels to me.
So it almost feels like you're on a ship that is that the engines are running hard on, and you can, you know, everything's shaking, but it's
yes.
only happening inside your body. Do you find
yes.
it? Is it localized to certain parts
no,
of your body?
It's the entire body.
So, like in your spine,
it's like everywhere.
Right.
Now, sometimes it starts out in just one spot, and then it'll just stay in that spot. But most of the time, when they're on extended periods, when it goes for more than just a couple of minutes, it's usually the entire body that'll do that. And so I've gotten up when these things happen, and I've walked around thinking, well, if I walk around, maybe it'll go away. It doesn't. Not always.
So it's a bit like a bit like walking around with pins and needles.
Yes,
yeah,
but it
know.
Doesn't hurt. It's
no.
not. It's not painful. It's not even annoying.
Yeah.
That's the most.
Is it sort of?
Thing.
I get the feeling it's sort of slightly rubbery, a bit like silicone rubber.
It's soft.
You know the new modern
vibration.
Rubber. The,
yeah.
You know, like it's heat proof as well. They make things
yeah.
out of it, and it's very soft and squishy and kind of, and as you walk, you bounce. Yeah. spring in your step. So, does it, to me, that would feel kind of joyful. Is that a joyful feeling?
It's not unjoyful. It's for me, it's like, I'm pretty much this kind of like real logical person when it comes to stuff like that. I know it seems weird because it's hardly logical. But I take everything very logically. Like, okay,
For the longest-serving TV psychic, you know, that's pretty logical.
Yeah, for sure.
Logical.
Yeah, it's logic. To me, it's logical because that's my world, right? It's logic to me. So as I'm walking around with it, I'm trying to figure out, well, what is this? What's it doing? Why am I experiencing this? And what is it? Again, I just ask the questions. So they sat me down and talked to me the other day about it. And they said, well, you know, we've been talking to you about the new energetics. And, you know, we've been talking about that since the early 2000s, the new energetics. This is part of the new energetics, and it's part of my upgrade that has transpired over the past year and a half, is the sensitivity level of changes that I'm able to experience and to know and to understand about. So, of course, then my question is who can feel that? And they say people who are aware, who become more aware of the frequency shifts, will be having similar sensations. They're not going to be identical because I'm me, you're you, and whoever else maybe experiences are them. So their sensation may feel slightly different than the way that I describe it. But they may be getting these body sensations and not sure what to do with them, like a buzzing or a tickling or just feeling warmth running up and down like you do if you get overheated or your blood pressure. Some people are sensitive enough and they feel their blood pressure go up. It may feel sort of symptom like that. It's very, you know, it'll be very different for everybody to a certain level. But then here's the other portion of this. I tuned into them one day after getting some of the questions answered. Then I began tuning into the vibrations themselves. It's kind of like I'm my own scientist. I do my own exploration, right? So I'm like, okay, because I don't really know who to talk to about this stuff because I don't know of anybody that does this stuff normally. That doesn't mean there isn't people out there. I just personally don't know them. So I did some exploration, and I was sitting there as one of these episodes went on, and I just kind of leaned my head back, and I thought, okay, well, so where am I going, and what is this doing? And where it took me is it took me into the planet Earth, and it took me into some shifting of some underground movement of the land itself, and then I began to see spots show up, different actions being taken underground that were causing some of the vibrational shifts. Some of them are natural. And as I've said for many years, whatever's natural, you know, if our mad scientists know about it, then they're going to take advantage of it and utilize whatever energetics that they think they can for their own means and ends, whether it's good for humanity or not, right? And so there's some people that have jumped on the bandwagon knowing when some of these cycles of burst of energies, because this is kind of a new field that we're in, the Earth itself, you know, we were talking about that as she moved into, you know, kind of a different playing field in the universe itself. The whole solar system is kind of in this different energetic field. And so the scientists that knew about this are taking advantage of it, and some of it isn't really, really great stuff. And some of it isn't so harmful. It's just some of it is part of a natural cycle. But it's also kind of an early detection system for me about some things, movement that's coming in from under us, from underground, which then, you know, made me go back to when I was a child and I used to walk around all the time barefooted. Of course, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. You know, so I was able to walk the land and I could feel vibrations and I would get information walking the ground. So it was kind of taking me back to my childhood times with, you know, certainly being expounded with the information and, you know, the sensitivity and what really is going on. And there's some extraterrestrial activity involved with some of these vibrations I'm sensing. And, you know, not to be all like wowsy here with it, but there is some extraterrestrial stuff here, and some of them are not, they're benevolent beings, that are utilizing some of this energetic frequency that's being kind of broadcast. It's broadcast from a different level. It's being broadcast from the earth, not from the airwaves. It's being broadcast through the earth itself, kind of like the grid system, the energy lines, the ley lines, sort of like that, sort of. It's not identical. And it's more about trying to keep things stabilized. So you got kind of these contradictory energetics going on under the ground, under our feet. Is that making sense?
You mean there's a war going on in hell?
Well, sorta. I didn't really want to put it quite so
biblically, yeah. But
yeah.
You know, to me the earth is like a kind of big
it's an antenna.
Loaf. Oh, it's an antenna. It's lots of things, but
antenna.
I mean, it's built like a kind of. There's lots of spaces. There's lots of cavities.
There is.
It's like it's like a loaf.
Yes.
You know,
cheese.
Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese with many caverns, and in these caverns,
yes.
There's all sorts of people and
things
and things and stuff
and creatures
and creatures and realms
things.
And you know, we live on the surface, and that's like.
So there's a lot of activity going on underground is what I'm saying. So, you know, and the energetics themselves, too, that I'm picking up, they really do, it seems to balance whatever's going on in my body, too. So if I had an ache or a pain or whatever, it seems to be not bad. In other words, when I come out of those moments, or sometimes minutes, my pain doesn't seem to be as acute. So it's got lots of different levels of benefits, in my opinion.
Well, you know, the pain is nature's way of saying, don't do that.
Well, you know, this last year, I was working on my health. I went down pretty bad. I went down pretty hard, and I went down for a long time, and it's been many months where I didn't even move.
And it's a fungus, kind of fungal-based
Well,
situation.
There was more to it than that. See, I was a guinea pig 30 years ago, and they did some surgeries on me that should not have been done.
Oh.
And it caused some long-term effects. And I do mean long-term effects, these experimental drugs and stuff that they used on me. Which, you know, I've talked to people before, and I've talked to this audience as well as other audiences about my near-death experiences, only because I, you know, was hacked on so many times and put under so many times that it's a wonder I'm even still here with all the stuff that went on. And that was in my 20s and 30s. And then after that, after my last surgery, I came out and I said, I'm never doing this again. This is it. I'm done. And I always know when I say something that I've changed something, because I get like this little bell in my ear that says, you've just now changed things. I just knew that things would change. And I didn't. I never had to go back in for surgery again, ever, for 30 years plus now. So I changed something just by, you know, I've told people, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're going to stop. You're just going to stop being sick and tired.
Stop being sick and tired, yeah.
That's right. So I was done. I was like, that's it, I'm done. No more of this. Because I knew what they were doing. On some level, I knew that they were harming me and not helping me. So 30 years later, 25 years later, it came and reared its ugly head. And so for the past few years, I've really been trying to figure out how to fix and how to redo what was changed within me, so to speak, artificially. And it included the lungs, which was, I had several collapsed lungs, and I've had several surgeries on it. And I also found out that I had scoliosis, which is what caused me all the pain. And the scoliosis is, which is a bone thing, and it's causing major curvature, which was also exasperating the other condition, and one thing exasperated the other, and they were just warring faction within me, and something had to change. and I had to step away from everything and try to figure out what worked for me, because nothing worked. I tried everything and nothing worked. I ended up going to a nurse practitioner, and I sat down and told her my medical history, and she just kind of looked at me when I got all done. I said, I can't tell you the chronological, but I can tell you this. And so for 10 minutes I spoke and gave her all my surgical information and all my illnesses and all that. She just kind of looked at me and went, okay, so what do you need? I said, well, for starters, I just want some antibiotics. Let's start with those and we'll see where we go with there. And mind you, I haven't had antibiotics in, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years. I have no idea. It's been that long. And I took those along with some other things, did some energy work. The vibrations, by the way, were very, very strong during this time. And every time I would come out of one of those, I would feel better. I had some chiropractic care. And I had some visitors by some new entities that came forward. And one of the things we've been talking about is the energetics and the DNA, and some other things that I don't have terms for right now, and I'm hoping that I can get those terms so that I can talk to people about it. And I focused all of my attention on that, and some of it was trial and error, and I had to do a lot of different weird things, and I take a lot of weird combinations of homeopathic and natural products in order to keep this maintained. I'm at a plateau again, but I actually feel better than I have for years. I spent the last year in a state of almost frozenness. I was so cold you couldn't even hardly touch me. I was freezing all the time. Extremely cold all the time. I couldn't remember my name some days. I was just really having a very, very difficult time. I really, really had to figure out what was going on, because it was just like my brain was working, but I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't do anything. I just very tired all the time. Obviously, there was no blood flowing being that cold. So when I got I finally got up and went and got the antibiotics, and then I had some of these other stuff. So the antibiotics helped kick out that mold, that fungus that was in there, that I couldn't find a natural product that took care of it. I even did stuff for my pH balance and stuff in order to do that. But unfortunately, I had to go to traditional medicine, because this is what they ended up telling me. They said traditional medicine, Western medicine is what caused this, and Western medicine is what's going to help stop it. I'm like, okay, well, there you go. So I had to listen to my body, I had to listen to them, and I got that done. And so now I feel better than I have in years. I swear to God, I feel better than I have in years. I have energy. I'm no longer cold all the time. Matter of fact, I run around in shorts and a short sleeve shirt, which I haven't done in years. So life is good. I mean, it's better. It's absolutely lovely to feel like myself again.
Coming in from the cold. Thank you so much for coming back, Rebecca.
Thank you.
We have a guest, Olive 2M. What does that mean?
Hey.
Olive, I always think of olive oil, and you always don't sound like olive oil. Well,
where's Popeye?
So it gets a little deep to just talk about that, but Olive is a few reasons why I use that name, but the 2M is Michael to me, Olive to me, 2M to Michael. First name, first knowing thyself. Thanks for taking my call, JP. And hello, Rebecca. You got the coolest smoker cough of anybody I know.
But, thank you.
Just kidding. I'd like to go back to earlier here, or basically just bounce off what you're talking about. And that is the vibrating frequency that is going on in your body. And I have experienced both. And I just wanted to touch on this with you and see, get your observation, is that sometimes it's nothing more than I have sat so freaking long that it is vibrating through my spine, pain. Now there's a difference when it's vibrating pain, and then you know what it is, then when it's a frequency coming from a advanced beans.
Yes, I know the difference. Are you asking me about you?
Yes, yes. You know, I'm asking you. Yeah, if you could, you know, elaborate on the difference.
Okay. Okay. So I don't. When I have pain, I don't get the same sensation of the vibration. It feels to me more like what's the word I want to use? It feels more like being stuck with a bunch of needles and it's sharp. Whereas the vibration that seems to start from within me is a softer vibration. It feels like a cell phone going off and you can feel it. I mean, it's like you can feel it. But it's not painful at all. It really isn't painful at all. It's just, it kind of just, I don't know, it's like coursing. It's movement, and it does not feel bad at all to me. It doesn't have that sharpness. It's softer, and it's gentler, and it's not painful. It doesn't register pain with me whatsoever.
I have noticed the difference, too, and that one there just seems to be a stillness of joy opposed to the pain that just, you know, the body just doesn't resonate with. Like, I could get rid of that one from sitting too long just by simply laying
getting
flat on. I always get up and move. Always right. Moving. It's very important to do that. But you were saying, did you say you felt like a peaceful joy through that other vibration?
Yeah, it's almost like it's not quite to the level of, oh, I'm at peace and, you know, harmony. It's just more of a quietness and feeling
right.
More in balance, more in harmony with in sync with the body and the mind. I mean, the whole thing. But it just isn't strong like that. You know, it isn't that, oh, I'm so at peace. It's just, it's just gentle. Everything about it is gentle.
Yeah. A gentle knowing that whatever that vibration is the one you need opposed to the one that just hurts.
Oh, there's some that jolt me. Yeah, they jolt me. It still isn't negative. It doesn't hurt, but it's like intense. You know, it's like it jolts you. You're like, okay, well, that one wasn't very good. You know, you can feel it, but those thankfully don't stay. They're just... Yeah. Short-lived, thankfully.
Okay.
Does that help?
Oh, yeah, it helps a lot. I just wanted to... I like to get other people's observation because I go through both. One of them so strong, it feels like CERN ain't got nothing compared to some of the vibrations I feel. But anyway... yeah. So anyway, I want to thank JP for taking my call, and I'll be listening to the show. Great show, JP. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
Take
brother.
Care, Rebecca.
Nice meeting you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So
sweet. I didn't know we had a call-in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, they just appear, you know. It happens. And I can't do anything about them. So we bring them in, and we speak, and we make a great show. This is what happens. All right, so now, where were we? We were... In the mad scientists were up to their stuff, and so how is, you know, there's a lot of levels that this, you know, war in heaven, war above, war in the land, war under the land, you know, there's stuff going on there.
Yeah.
There is. Who are the actors in this? Who are the factions?
Oh my gosh, we have got so many that's joined the party anymore. Seriously, we've just got tons that's joined the party, JP. It would be hard for me to name all of them. Some of them I don't even recognize. There's new players out there. They're not normally the major players. But you know, you've still got the ones that have been there, the ones that, you know, most people are familiar with. There is a And interestingly enough, everybody's now starting to see what I called, and I called them the blue man, the winged one. I talked about that a few years back, about the blue man that came forward and gave me the warning of the what he called the mechanical beings. They would appear as angels, and when I say angels, I don't mean necessarily beings with wings, but they would appear to be nice guys. In fact, they weren't. You had to pay real close attention to them, because they were actually transmitters, kind of like a Borg without all the stuff attached to it. They would look like us, a little bit more choppy in their actions, because they're not true humans at all. And they were the negative ones, and then of course there's the positive ones, which is the one that showed up to tell me about the negative ones. And then here lately I've heard of other people talking about the blue beings, so apparently they've really shown up now after a few years, and they're here. And most of the blue beings are probably on the light side, but again, with the warning that I was given and the information I was given, is you always have to double check how do they feel, and are they hiding anything behind what you see in front of you. And it's really a sensation, and it's an understanding and a knowing how to get in there and to really decide whether or not you're dealing with a good one or not a good entity or spirit. So that's part of the players. Some people talk about the insectoids. I've only seen a few, but some people seem to think that there's a lot of them. I don't know, because I haven't seen that many, which is of the negative faction. Of course, you got the good grays and the bad grays. You've still got that, and I still think that those that we might have called the gods of the old ages are kind of hanging out, and it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't start seeing some of that come forward. Could be yet in our life cycle. So, you know, there's been a war going on. It hasn't ever stopped, truthfully. It's just that we've become more sophisticated in our communication. We're now talking worldwide with each other. Before, we weren't able to do that. You know, 30 years ago, I didn't know JP existed. You know, I didn't know about internet. I certainly didn't know about Skype. You know, so here we are 30 years later, and we're able to do this. We're able to know what's going on over in England or Australia or China or South Africa or Peru. If we just tune in, we can do it. We didn't have those capabilities before. So the world really has opened up to everyone, and I'm talking about from a technological standpoint, which is, it's wonderful, and it's, you know, again, it's got its benefits as well as its disabilities as well with that. Because then again, you get a lot of disinformation and misinformation, and so it's about doing the research and really sensing how you feel about what's being presented, and does that really feel like truth to you. So this war that's going on, JP, it's not just underground. We have a lot of beings that's been there for, you know, eons of time, and, you know, here in the past, you know, 20, 30 years, there has been a lot more tunnels and tunneling and underground stuff going on than ever before, because this is how your governments work, so that the people can't see what's really going on, you know, what they're really doing. It used to be, in the old days, you would see all kinds of army trucks or, you know, that kind of stuff on the roads here in the United States. Now you hardly see any, because they're all underground. They're all traveling underground. So, you know, with all that underground tunneling and the fact that they've closed off parts, and you probably heard about this, where they closed off parts of the Grand Canyon, there's a no-fly zone over it. There's a no getting close to it. They will shoot you on sight. It's kind of like an Area 51. And it's that cave that they found artifacts and probably extraterrestrial life in there. And it's, you know, they've cordoned it off, and now the United States government owns it. It's not for the people. Can't get near it. So this war that goes on, the thing that I keep telling people is that the bigger your vibration is and the more clear your vibration is, the more loving your vibration is that you put out there, that's the best way that you can combat what's going on. because then that stuff doesn't seep up. Becomes like sewage and seeps up into your world, and then pretty soon before you know it, you've got this dark outlook on life, and you don't realize because you've allowed all that negative energy to flow into your space and you don't clear it out. People don't realize how important that is to clear your space energetically, and you do that through your own mind, through your own actions, through your thoughts, through your deeds, everything. It's all important. Every bit of it is. Nothing is unimportant. Even the simplest of things. Make sense?
As my old mate Ted said, there ain't no such thing as an idle thought. I have to get some of the... He was this American guy who used to come to my jam session. You know, we're in the north of Scotland. And he used to come in steaming drunk up or about 8 cans of lager. And,
oh my.
And what he'd do is, and it would always happen, because the music, you know, he'd be sitting outside drinking in the fires, you know, everybody was standing outside, you know, it was a bonfire outside, and you know, we were tootling around, and then sometimes somebody would get the stomp going, and the rhythm would build up, and it would, you know, build up to a crescendo, and he would burst into the room and screamed out, and nobody could understand a word he was saying. So I decided, right, one day I'm going to record this guy and see what the heck he's talking about. And he was quoting the A Course in Miracles book.
Oh my goodness, like everyone could hear that, right?
He was completely smashed.
At least he's being spiritual in his drunkenness.
In his weird drunken way. So, you know, we used to call it the Church of Ted. You know, this is what happens. So, because it would happen every Friday, and it's like, oh my God, here we go again. Because he would be very intimidating, because he's quite tall and very strong, and he's a builder, construction worker. Anyway, so.
What a sight that is. Thank you, JP, for sharing.
Yeah, I'll see if I can dig some out, the wisdom of Ted. So meanwhile, we're going to do some round tables.
Okay.
We might even start this evening. I might just, you know, chuck all the, you know, recorded stuff we were going to do and just come onto a round table and let anyone join in and talk about what's been going on and what we think we can do in the future, because things are changing and we got some good news.
Oh, rapidly.
Yeah. Good news is on its way, I have to tell you, brothers and sisters. I mean, this is not being like a evangelical preaching stuff. This is like really, truly good news is on its way. If you choose good news, then good news will follow you, because by locking into the higher frequency, you're letting go of the disastrous timeline. You just step away from the timeline. Because it's not yours, and it's like you've only been tricked into holding it in your field. So the fewer people hold it in their field, the more it will slip away and become like a bad memory, like a dream.
It becomes another lifetime. You look back and you go, wow, that was another lifetime. That was another me.
Exactly.
Even in the same timeline. Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, people who might have come out of a hostage situation. It was, you know, incredibly stressful situation, but they came out, you know, they know themselves a little bit more. They know who they are and, you know, what they are like in a situation.
Yes. Exactly.
And
exactly.
We've all been through that in the last couple of years. We are definitely much more clear about who we are and what our mission is. It's like being ground away, like back to that same image of the tumblestone machine. You know, you polish rocks by crunching them against each other, but it's just all perfect, and we come out polished and beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And beautiful. We are beautiful beings. We must not forget that.
Yeah.
We must not forget that. Who you see in the mirror is not who you are. It's who you are on the inside.
Yeah. And I really recommend Dr. Hugh Len. I think it's Hewlen. Just Google it or YouTube it. And it's he's the guy, the Ho'oponopono guy. You know, I love you, I'm sorry,
oh,
please
yes.
forgive me, mm-hmm. thank you. And he takes you through how to take your inner child through that process and to heal the wounds that your inner child has. Because, brothers and sisters, I have to tell you that if you have not got a healed inner child, in the next few months, you might explode. If you haven't done work to heal that inner child and heal the things that need to be healing, because this is what happens. This is, as the pressure arises, those are the things that hold us in the form of our old reality. So those are the injured fragments. So if you're holding on to hurt, injured inner child fragments, and you make it, you know, the definition of who you are, you might need to rethink about who you identify as. Do you identify as your disease, or do you identify as who you really truly are? So that's my freedom speech for the evening.
Well, you did that very well.
Yeah.
Your soapbox is lovely.
I should get some music. Listen, honey, it's been fantastic. Sure. Fantastic to hear you.
It's been wonderful to be here. Are you kidding? I've so enjoyed it.
Excellent.
And I really have. And I'm not even feeling like I'm going to fall over and go to sleep or anything weird.
No. I hope it hasn't drained you. I hope that, you know, it's been a very fair exchange of energies. And, you know, I'd like to say hello to St. Joseph, Missouri. Here they go. And there's Sparta, New Jersey, and Las Vegas, and Cork in Ireland, and Feldkirchen in Austria. Arroyo Grande, California, Winnipeg, Sterling, Ontario, Largo, Florida, Muncie, Indiana, United States on the apples. There we go. It's lovely to see you all. Denton, Texas. Tucson, Arizona.
Jackson, Arizona.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to see you all here. Oh, there's Hayesville, KS. Where's KS?
Kansas.
So there's one of your neighbors.
Kansas, one of my neighbors.
Just logging in. Say hello and goodbye to all your neighbors. Tell people how to find you and where to find your archives.
Yeah, you know, the archives are sitting on my website at journeyswithrebecca.com, and then there'll be a link on the side there when you first log in. All my posts, my recent posts, will be right below that, but they can find the archives there of all my previous shows. And the announcements are that I will be joining Project Camelot TV, Internet TV, and that is due to kick off within the next, say, 2 to 4 weeks. And I will be doing a live show on Project Camelot Internet TV, and where I will be having some guests, and it's videoed, so you all get to see my mug. And I'll probably wear a mask or something so that I can hide my identity. Like, you know, my pictures aren't plastered everywhere, right?
Change your voice. We'll change your voice like Cobra.
Oh, no. I wouldn't change my voice. That's what makes me unique. It's really a weird voice. That's why I like it.
Well, it's unique. Actually, anyway, go on.
That's coming up soon. I have no idea when that's coming up, for sure. As soon as I get the go-ahead and I have guests lined up, I'm also going to be bringing back my mailbag. Now, my mailbag was a feature I started when I first started the show, where people can email me with their questions, and I will be doing like a psychic reading, so to speak, off of their email questions, obviously free of charge to people. And I haven't gotten the email set up yet, so please don't write me yet. When I do, I will be posting it to my newsletter, so you can sign up for my free newsletter. Again, at the front page, right there at the bottom, you can sign up. It's free. Let's see. I will begin my classes again in September, which is the timeline integration, which I'm glad you brought up the fragments, because it really is about bringing in the fragmented pieces that you've been carrying around that don't work. So it's much like the inner child work, except for it goes back to the point of origin. So I will be bringing those back on board in September. So at this point, that's what I've got going on. Obviously, I've got some offers to go back on radio again. We'll just see where things go, and we'll take it from there. But I will tell you, I have so enjoyed my time. The audience, you guys, you've just brought, seriously, you've just made my heart just expand. Like, you have no idea how you've made my heart expand. And Mr. Dave Corso has been sitting here with us the whole time, and he's clapping his hands, as he did. And so we honor our friend this evening, and he's gone, but he is never going to be forgotten. And it's because of him that JP and I are here with all of you tonight. So we thank him for that as well. And I thank you, Mr. JP, my wonderful friend, and everyone.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Tune into Wolf Spirit Radio and stay tuned, and we'll see what happens.
Small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Is there life on Mars? It's on America's tortured brow. Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clowns. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's a freaky show. Take a look at the and the best-selling show. Is there life on?